This is New England Public Radio. I'm Carrie Healy. It's officially summer, so it seems a good time to kick off our annual summer fiction series. We begin in Montague, Massachusetts, with author August Thomas.
Are you Carrie?
Are you August?
Yes.
Nice to meet you.
Thomas spent a lot of time working on her latest novel at the independent bookstore in Montague called The Book Mill. So that's where we met to talk. Liar's Candle is a feminist spy thriller set in contemporary Turkey, where Thomas lived and studied. I asked her if her knowledge, and presumably her affection for that country, made it difficult to use as a setting, especially as intrigue and dead bodies accumulate in the novel.
That is such an interesting question. That's not one I've heard before. Yes and no. No in the sense that I knew Turkey really well. So one of the things I loved being able to do with Liar's Candle was to take people all over Turkey to different corners that even if you have been there as a visitor, you probably haven't been to the places in this book. Certainly not to all of them. In terms of bumping off imaginary characters, I tried to do two things. One was that if I knew someone who had held the real job of a fictional character, I made the fictional character as different from them as I possibly could, just out of respect. And the other thing is that I tried to make every death in the book or injury in the book serious and real. They're not disposable deaths, which I also thought was meaningful.
I was intrigued by a line in your book, and I need to paraphrase it a tiny little bit in order to not spoil the book. You think that because you can read newspapers and watch our television, because you come and stay in the country a few weeks, you understand. Is that something that you saw often while you were there in Turkey?
I think that line for me came more out of the fact that, generally speaking, the Americans I knew in Turkey who had bothered to learn Turkish to the degree that they could read a newspaper were extremely observant, open-minded, intelligent people. So no. But on the other hand, I got a master's degree in the history department at a university in Turkey when I was living there. And so I was educated in how to write about Turkey and its history alongside young Turkish historians rather than from an American perspective. So I was very aware of wanting to present my perspective on Turkey, but also not assuming that I would have the same depth of insight or same point of view as somebody who had grown up there.
How much research time did it take to figure out how spies work and how best to bump off a character?
Oh, well, I just interviewed James Bond for an hour and I was all set. That was a really fun and also really long-term process. I actually started by, I had encountered some wonderful and really dedicated, real American diplomats when I was living in Turkey because I was there on a Fulbright, which is a State Department scholarship. And I got interested in their world and what that career would look like in real life. So I began studying that years and years before I even considered writing a thriller. And spies, I'd always had a little low-grade interest in. Ever since when I was 13, I got to spend about a day inside the NSA as part of this little academic group that I was in. And it just was very intriguing to me. It was not that I fell in love with it, it was just that it was so compelling and felt so special that they stopped traffic on the highway and brought us in. So I had been curious about that. The CIA's website actually is very information dense. They have publications that aren't classified that anyone can read, academic studies about intelligence. Spies love writing memoirs, so there are zillions of them out there. And some of it, of course, I just made up.
Is the feeling of betrayal, which is kind of central to the book in a non-spoiler kind of way, universal?
Oh my goodness. I think that some of the betrayal in the book is the kind of betrayal you have in a spy thriller, but some of it is, I think, inherent in growing up. Not necessarily that it is truly a betrayal, but just a dramatic reassessment of the way the world actually works. As you come in contact with politics and foreign cultures and violence, reassessing how the world actually works as you incorporate new information can feel like a betrayal if you had put your faith in something that turns out not to be quite as you thought it was.
That was August Thomas, who lives and writes in Montague, Massachusetts. She's the author of Liar's Candle. You can find other selections from our summer fiction series at npr.net. This is New England Public Radio.